It's a lousy French term. Germans don't like French. Raison d'être. And it means reason for existence, reason for being. Let me illustrate with that in a sentence. The raison d'être, the reason for the trees planted along the Champs-Élysées. Have any of you ever been to Paris and seen the Champs-Élysées, the Arc de Triomphe, and back behind us would be the Louvre Museum, but the reason for the trees, why were they planted? So the Germans could march in the shade. That's the raison d'être. But the idea of our reason for a church and CFC, so today this is testable material, and I'm sending, Sheila, I'm sending this to Kirk, so you will have to take the test as well, because this applies to Woodland Park Community Church, whether they know it or not, and I suspect they do. But the purpose of the universal church, the body of Christ, and its mission is ultimately, I would submit biblically, God's glory. You can subsume every other doctrine, every other, you know, the gospel, the righteousness of God, everything ultimately shows and is for God's glory. That is the primary theme of God's word. So Psalm 19, for example, the heavens declare the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, Christians, whom I have created for my glory. And that's sort of why I like this picture, not just because I'm a Navy guy, but our purpose to be a beacon for God's glory. But then there's the moon, God's creation, also shining forth God's glory. So today is sort of a family. What is the mission and purpose? Why are we specifically, as the local body of believers, known as Community Fellowship of Christians? The purpose, it's in our constitution, you know, all that stuff you got quizzed on when you interviewed for your membership. Like I said, there's going to be a test. But Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, the purpose of this organization will be to conduct church services and do all things allied thereto. Got to have some lawyer language. In support of the cause of Jesus Christ, his glory. And this is embodied then in our mission statement, in the policies and procedures, and you all should have a copy. If you don't have one and want to have some nighttime reading, Trudy, would you run one off?
Yep.
Yeah. But using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to, and that's just texts like Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, these are all Hebrew words for God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And that sort of reflects my earlier praise and a prayer concern that we would look at the God's word that way, that would just order all our lives, our praise, our prayer, our daily living for God's glory. And then in 2 Peter, just what we believe about the Bible, it's the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So God's word, it means what God means, not what we try to make it mean. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's the biblical doctrine of inspiration. God, the Holy Spirit, enabled the human authors of Scripture to write in their own style. But once it was written down, that's exactly what God wanted for his people. And that's what we have in our translations, English translations of the Bible. But using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to first honor God through our worship, praise, and prayer. So once again, honor God, glorify, worship and praise. And folks, that's all of life, not just music, not just me forcing praises during the prayer time. It's all of life. Our very body should be, our lives should be sacrifices for God and his praise. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So lives of praise, folks. And I, one thing that just makes my job easy as pastor of you people, there's just a joy of being in the Lord around this place, and that's we can always do better, and you know, maintaining biblical roots and foundations. You know, that's sort of my job as the guy that yells every week. But you know, I thank God that we worship, praise. It's evident, and then through our worship, praise, and prayer, God, the King of the universe, wants to talk to us. Can you believe that? And the idea of prayer is ultimately conforming our wills to his will. Not God, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's like Jesus taught the disciples to pray, in Jesus' name. That's not the magic words. God, I want to win the lottery in Jesus' name. No, in Jesus' name means that we are conforming. We want what Jesus wants. Lord, help me to want what Jesus wants. And that's why I, you know, do like in spending more time on praises, more than, not to the exclusion of, but more than just let me give you all the details of the goiter on my left toe. You know, God cares about that. We don't need all the details. And that's why in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. So using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to teach and nurture through God's word that all may be mature in Christ, discovering our gifts and using them in ministry. So teach, nurture. You know, we've got the manufacturer's handbook. We're going to use it. Or so I've heard a pastor once say, this is a great love letter written to us by God. And so, like Timothy, Paul told young Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, right thinking, reproof, correcting wrong thinking, for correction, correcting wrong action, and instruction in righteousness, encouraging right living, righteous living for God's glory, that the man of God may be complete, mature, right, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So using God's word for that. And then it says, holding to the Apostles' Creed as our statement of faith. That's why we say that the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, is a little more detailed, but the standard Orthodox view on what Christians have believed. And so when we do the Lord's Supper, that's why we recite that. And so that we may be mature in Christ. And that's something all of us can grow up a little. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, and he himself, God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the teaching of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, that means a complete, mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we are becoming more Christ-like, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Folks, that's important. By attaching ourselves to the foundation of God's word, we're not going to fall prey to a lot of the craziness that is in our world and the pop theology that passes, quite frankly, for church preaching today. By the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the individual gifts as part of Christ's body, we all grow together under the headship of Christ. And then our mission statement says, gifts for ministry. You know, this, we've talked about spiritual gift, charismatic, charisma gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, talk about how God has equipped us to become that unified, mature body for God's glory. Using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to reach our community, our nation, and our world for Christ. Reach evangelism. And like in Acts 1:8, as the church was going out, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jesus, we are witnessing Jesus, not us, not a particular church, Jesus. You are my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, our local community, our nation, our world, the church scattered, the universal body of Christ scattered, versus we are that local branch office, the church gathered, where we are here to study and worship Christ. But, you know, the reach little Lake Georgians can have. And I commend for God's glory, like Scott was talking about earlier. This church provides a lot of ministry around the world, and that's excited. We are not inbred, which is very healthy. And the gospel message for Christ Jesus, his person, his work, that's the main thing. Who is Jesus? What did he do? And that's keeping God's word and God's son central, not worrying about, you know, we in adult Bible study, we've been talking about denominations. And sometimes denominations have formed over minute things, you know, where, you know, we could care less what the Bible says about Jesus, but boy, if you have the wrong kind of music, get thee behind me, Satan. Baptist. Amen. Using the Bible as our guide, we endeavor to, finally, create a caring and growing fellowship where all are welcome. Folks, this is a strength. Fellowship, family. And of course, fellowship in the original Greek means food. Which I didn't mention. Today we're celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Georgia made some cakes. They are inedible, so do not eat them. And I will take them home for you. But fellowship, it's in the name of our church family, community fellowship. Caring and growing. Paul likes to use building and agricultural metaphors. So he talks about being knit together in Christ. And so like when we studied 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11, all the divisions in that church in Corinth, he had to rebuke because for the Lord's Supper, because this should be a table that unifies us, not causes divisions. So unity, and I think we do that pretty good. And we welcome anybody except Woodland Park people. And if your initials are SR, well, she's got a, you can't protect her. We're talking evangelism for her. But think of in James 2, James talks about visitors that come in and, you know, the guy with the good clothes and the expensive jewelry, you know, well, have a seat up front. But, you know, nowadays, get the cushy chairs in back. And I'm looking at you, Lee, now. You know, but they got the best seats, the best attention, and then the poor were neglected. And James goes on to talk about, you know, we are really all poor, poor in spirit in the sense of we all need God's grace. None of us are better than the other. And so that's the caring and growing fellowship. And like I say, you people, I try to disabuse them of this notion, but people always comment on how wonderful you are. And I say, well, if you only knew them like I knew them. But they keep coming back. We can't get rid of them. And you've heard, you know, sharing the love of Christ, the warmth of his fellowship. I don't know where I got this, but I've heard this quote, we are just beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. And that's, I really appreciate you people. So what? So what is our raison d'etre? Soli Deo Gloria, the glory of God. That's the why. And it's, we've gone through the textbook answer out of our mission and purpose statement. And now, how are we going to do that? That'll be next week. You got to come back. Psalm 19:14, the great chapter that talks about God's general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows its handiwork. and in the word of the Lord. Psalm 119:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So why are we here? And it's for God's glory. That's why you see that. And sometimes you see my Jesuit answer. That means ad maiorem Dei gloriam, to the greater glory of God. But folks, that's what all Christians, indeed all people, all human beings, ultimately are for God's glory. We know the answers. So we, of all people, should be about that. And this church family, until you vote the bum out, that's going to be our focus. And you'll see that next week, some of my hot button issues, if you will, about how we're going to keep God's word central and what the big themes are about what we need to be about. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. And as we look forward to 2026, may this church family and all church families that name Christ as the head, Lord and head of the church, may we bring you glory in everything we do. In the family meetings, corporately on Sunday morning, but as we are scattered and go out into the world or support missionaries, may everything we do, whether we eat, drink, whatever we do, as Paul says in Corinthians, do it all for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.